Reyes, Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. It's BBC Radio Leicester. Ben Jackson with you through until midday today. Now, Glenfield Electrical was created in 2013 by Philip and Catherine Holder to help people with, well, electrical problems that they have within their home or workplace. Now they've made it to the semi-final of the Britain's Top Tradesman competition. Phil Holder joins us now. Good morning.
Morning.
I understand you're great at dad dancing.
No, I'm not. Well, no, yes, I am great at dad dancing. No, I'm a terrible dancer. I leave that to the wife and the kids.
I love the fact that in your bag it says he likes a bit of dad dancing from time to time.
Yes, after a drink.
I love it. Look, talk me through... we were kind of talking off air about stuff, and we'll talk about customer service and so on. And as I was saying to you, I love mending things, fixing things. If I can see it, if it's got screws and bolts and stuff, I'm in there. Electrics frightens me because I can't see it.
Yes. And it hurts when it goes wrong.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous, obviously. The problem with the good thing with gas is you can smell it. The problem with electric is you can't see it. Even, you know, we have to take procedures at work every day to make sure that we are safe and that our equipment is working correctly. So we have what's called a safe isolation procedure. We have testers that test the circuit to make sure they're dead. We then confirm the tester's working correctly. And that's the thing, because our testers do fail. Yeah. So there's nothing to say that we can test it with a faulty bit of equipment, yet the circuit's still live. God. And that's life-changing, can kill you.
How long have you been an electrician for?
Since I left school when I was 16, so 24 years.
So it's just, yeah. You just get it?
Yeah, so I just did an apprenticeship. As soon as I left school, I didn't really want to be at school. I didn't enjoy school. And I went down the apprenticeship route and got a trade.
Look, it's interesting, isn't it? GCSE's out today. Lots of people will be reviewing what they're going to do in life.
Yeah.
And there's often this path, isn't there, down the sort of academic route, GCSE's, A-levels, degree.
Yeah.
There's another path, isn't there, which you still have to get loads of qualifications for.
Absolutely.
But it's more practical.
Yes. Yeah. So I didn't enjoy the academic side of it at school. I was always practical. I loved football when I was a kid. I loved pottering around, doing DIY bits and pieces. And that's what led me to get into the trade. And it's a fabulous profession to get into, whether it's electrics, plumbing, gas,
heating. It's physics is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I love it. I love my job.
I wish people could see your smile when you talk about it.
Yeah. No, I'm really passionate about it. Someone asked me the other day, the awards asked me, if you weren't doing this, what would you do? And I have no idea. No idea, because I still want to be practical. I still want to be able to do
things. Did you not see yourself as a plumber or a brickie, or is it the electrics that does it for you?
No, I don't think it's just the electric, but I think some kind of practical trade is what I enjoy. But with the electrics, there is a lot more technical behind it, the design side of the...
I don't know why, but I follow quite a few trades on Twitter because I love trades accounts and stuff. And it's lovely when you see a guy, you know, take a photograph of a piece of work at the end of it with pride.
Yes.
This is what I did today.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So that's what we're trying to do with our website at the moment. Bit of a before, bit of an after. Yeah. This is the high quality that we want to hit on every job.
You must turn up and find horror stories somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
What's the worst you've ever
done? So we were called out to a job in Kirby Muxloe. And their light in circuits were flickering on and off. It was really bizarre. So our electrician turned up. He was let into the house by the nanny. The nanny then went off to take the kids to school or play groups or wherever it was. He phoned me up and said, this house is about to burn down. And I thought, it's playing about. So he said, I found a cable, and he sent me a video of it. And this cable was in the loft under some insulation, and it was literally catching fire in our eyes. And it's actually on the BBC News website that you can see.
In the process. I remember when we spoke before that was when that was the worst thing you'd ever seen, wasn't it? It was actually about to catch fire.
Yeah.
And that was in the process of doing it.
Yes. It was catching fire in front of him, right there and then in front of him. The problem was the nanny had gone out and he hadn't got the keys to get into the garage where the fuse board was to turn it off. So he's there just literally dabbing this cable out. So I've jumped in the car, drove round. I've just thought, right, okay, I need to find the keys for the kitchen, for the garage door to get into the fuse board. So I've had a look in the kitchen, found them on the worktop side, got in there and managed to isolate it. And it was due to poor workmanship. There was a number of factors. They'd got Someone had been in and bypassed one of the main RCDs in the fuse board, so that wasn't tripping the circuit out. Someone had a previous electrician had bodged it, so it wasn't overloading and tripping, and it was just sitting there waiting to catch fire.
But for somebody that checks their testing equipment, it must frustrate you that somebody's so cavalier with somebody else's life.
Yeah. It does. And people aren't making the regular checks on their property. So electric-wise, you get home at night, you turn your lights on, your lights work. If they don't work, you have a look at it and you phone an electrician. But you assume that everything's working correctly as it should. Now, I could come into your house, Ben, and you could say to me, what do you think to the electrics, Phil? Just by looking at them, I can't tell you. I've got to get my equipment out and test to make sure that everything is working correctly and visually inspect it in more detail. And if I can't tell you, with all my years' experience, how can anyone else tell?
What happens when you turn up somewhere and say, well, this installation is just deadly, and the owner says, well, I can't afford to do anything, or I don't want you to do anything, what do you do then?
So with the one in Kirby Muxlow, he'd had issues with a previous tradesman. So I spent half my time trying to convince him that we are a reputable company and we're not going to rip you off. So when I got there and we said to them, look, we're going to turn this circuit off and we're not going to turn it back on. We are going to lock it off and make it safe. So obviously he hit the roof. Yeah? You can't do that. You can't do this. I'm going to speak to my solicitor. He phoned Trading Standards. Trading Standards said that we needed to put it back to how it was. Now, my concern was, if I put it back to how it was and turned it on, I'd be standing in court on Monday morning explaining why the family had died in a fire because I know better. So basically, we made it safe, locked it off, and issued them with a danger notice to say we're not willing to re-energise this. So he then got another electrician to come and have a look. We stayed on site at his property why he got the other electrician in. He turned up, I explained to him, the electrician said, there's no way I'm turning it on as well.
What did the homeowner say in the end? Did he apologise?
Yes. Yes. When he realised how dangerous it was and he saw the videos, etc., he thanked us.
I thought he'd have bought you a beer.
Yeah, he really, really thanked us a lot.
Yeah. But you see, there's an interesting point with that, is that, and we were talking about this off air, that in my experience, 90%, 99%, whatever it is, of trades are really great people trying to do best job.
Absolutely.
Difficult.
Yep.
You know, and trades get a lot of flack, don't they? The bad apples, of which there are enough, that would rewire a house to the point it's going to burn down, affect all of you.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Yeah, so we spend most of our, like I said, we spend most of our time trying to convince customers that we're not rip-off merchants, we're going to do a quality job. If something does go wrong, you know, I accept people have accidents, sometimes things do go wrong, we will be there to put it all right.
So in 2013, you and Catherine set the company up. What did you aim to achieve?
So I took redundancy from a local company. Started on my own.
Scary.
Took the van, took a little bit of money, and off I went. Family and friends pulled together and found me a lot of work. And then as we were building it, I took an apprentice on within a year and a half, 2 years. And it's just kind of spiralled from there, because you take clients on and you get to the point where if you don't grow the business, you let those clients down. And at some point you've got to say, I can't do anymore. So it's kind of just growing.
So how many people are you employing now?
I think there's about 17 of us.
Come on, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and we're growing and growing. I think we've got 7 apprentices now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Apprentices are just
I was
fantastic.
Going to say, you know, because the way you'd started through the sort of apprenticeship route and so on, is that important to you?
Yeah. Yeah, massively. It always fascinates me, because I speak to other companies and say, oh, you know, have you got apprentices? Oh, no, I've had one, and we had one for a couple of months and it didn't work out. And it's almost like they're blaming the younger people, but actually it should be, they should be looking at their recruitment process and looking at how much time and effort are you putting in to these new apprentices, because they do take time and effort. If you accept that, then you can get them to
mould them in your own
absolutely
image,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know, I feel it's lovely to talk. I have so much respect for trades because I just love that. I was just thinking about it the other day that I saw some builders doing some stuff and I thought, what an amazing thing to every day create something.
Yes.
You've got the right kit, the right knowledge, the space and time to do it. What an amazing thing to be able to do. Listen, the best luck. So we haven't even spoken about the award. You're up for a national award. It's a big thing. I think, when do you find out? Later on in the year?
Yeah, so I've got a Skype interview next week with them. I find out if I'm in the final September the 15th, and then we go down to the final in Farnborough on the 27th of September.
Will you come in and let us know how it goes?
Yeah, we'll do, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. How do you know whether somebody's a good trade or not?
Great question. I would say that the early warning signs are phone calls. Are they picking up your phone? Are they? We get a lot of clients that will say, "Wow, we're amazed you've even answered the phone. We're amazed you've returned the call. The quote, you know, we're amazed you've even turned up to do the quote." We hear a lot of people that actually will go out to do the quote and then the customers never actually get it in writing. There's so many little frustrations out there that everyone has with. Maybe it's not just tradesmen, maybe it's other professions as well. But those are like the early warning signs to me.
Phil, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Awesome. 23...